for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2008 Spring Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday morning, March the 21st, 2008. Carla Batod is the speaker of the service, teaching on healing.
Lord, let our ears be open to hear what the Spirit is saying through Carla Batod this morning. Amen. Amen.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
We just sang the song, and I am here to proclaim the precious name of Jesus. As other places are celebrating the resurrection of Christ in their traditional manners of Easter egg hunts and what have you, I thought about Paul and his prayer that he might know him and the power of his resurrection. I wonder if we even really understand the power of his resurrection. I was in church all of my life and never ever heard that when Jesus was crucified, and I've kind of been thinking about this because you would think that it was the power of the resurrection that raises the dead. But when he gave up his, even the power of his death, there was power in that. Because the graves were opened, it said, and the saints came out and went into the city. I thought, wow, the first time I heard that, I thought, wow, can you imagine if we were sitting here and, like, those that have died just came in here? I mean, that must have been an amazing thing. Awesome. If that wouldn't strike you. And it says in that particular paragraph that many of those that witnessed that said, surely this was the Son of God. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the power of his resurrection. That is scripture that Paul said, that is in Philippians 3:10, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. And that word power means force, specifically miraculous power. A miracle itself, ability, might. It means meaning, and the meaning of his resurrection. That we might know him in the meaning of his resurrection. It means strength, and it means wonderful work. And I am here to tell you today that I have been resurrected in more than one area of my life. That word resurrection means a standing up again, moral recovery, or raised, literally raised from the dead. But there was a time in my life that I was so depressed that I could hardly breathe. And it was Jesus who took me out of that. Him alone. I mean, I went to the psychiatrist looking for help and got a great big bill. And some medicine that I flushed down the toilet. Because not only was it antidepressant, it was anti-everything. I couldn't function. I mean, I took one and slept for 3 days. Of course, I probably needed to sleep, but I couldn't function with the drugs and reached a place where the only thing I knew to do was to cry out to God, and he met me in that place. Damascus Road experience and just the revelation of his love stood me up again. And that's happened to me more than once. It's happened in my marriage. My marriage was totally dead at one time. And God resurrected our marriage and recreated it. And so there is a power in his resurrection and more that we need to know in it. So I'm going to read those scriptures. I want you to see the power. And that's in Matthew 27. Matthew 27, verses 50 through 53. This is when he was on the cross. It says, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints that slept arose. That is so awesome. And now I want you to see in Hebrews 2:14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. That really is the reason, the very reason that Jesus came. It says in 1 John 3:8, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And the devil has brought in many works into our lives. Trouble, pressures, sickness, financial problems, problems in relationships with children, with mates, and there's just all manner of evil. The Word says that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. Likewise, every bad and evil gift comes from the devil. And that started in the garden. So why was Jesus sent? John 1:29 says, John the Baptist said this, behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. Now, there is a doctrine out there right now that is wanting us to believe that because Jesus was crucified for the sin of the whole world, that the whole world is covered. Now, that's a dangerous doctrine because everywhere it says whosoever, whosoever, whosoever. I mean, it's a choice that we have to make. It's not a blanket thing. I want to look at Romans 5:12. I'm just going to lay some groundwork here for where I'm really going with this. Romans 5:12. See, he says to take away the sin of the world. Sin started in the garden when they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And it's that sin that was abolished through the crucifixion of Jesus and the resurrection. So, 5:12. Whereby, as by one man, sin entered into the world. You see that? Sin entered into the world. And death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Now, when that sin entered in, because Jesus said that that when you eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, surely you will die. Now, they didn't die right away. And if you look in Genesis chapter 5, there's a whole list, at least a whole list of people who lived. Well, Adam lived to be 930, Noah 950, Seth 912, Enosh 905, and it goes on 910, 895, 962, 365, 969, and 777. These people lived for a, you know, we look at that, and I've had people say, well, don't you think that the time must have been different then than it is now? Because there's just no way that anybody could have. No. They really lived that long because we were created in the image of God and He is eternal. We were really designed to live eternally. And there was so much life force in those first people that it took a long time for death to kill them. A long time. But shortly after that, and you can look in chapter 6, it is when it was instituted that 120 would be our lifespan. So, now I want to look at Genesis chapter 3:14. So, as soon as they ate from the tree, death entered into mankind, and not only death, but everything that we know today that is evil, that causes us problems. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, see, he tempted Eve, and she ate it. Thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and he shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Okay? So the curse was brought into effect because of sin, rebellion. They chose to believe Satan instead of God. And so the curse was put into effect. There was a curse on the serpent, on the woman. Verse 16, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. On the man, in verse 17, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I command thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. And then on the ground, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field, in the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. So you see that because of that sin, the curse was put into place. The curse on the serpent, the woman, the man, and on the ground. And because of that, before they sinned, they had perfect fellowship with God. He walked with them in the cool of the day. They lived in His presence, and everything was absolutely wonderful. But after sin, there was a separation. That sin separated mankind from God. And when it says that Jesus came as by one man, death, sin entered in, okay, then let's look at Romans 5:18. Now we're going to see where that was abolished. Romans 5:18. So this separation took place so that every person that was born after that time was born in sin and had a death sentence on their life. We started dying. So, in Romans 5:18, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. See, Jesus is the righteous one. So now God has sent Jesus to reconcile us back to Himself so we can have that perfect relationship and fellowship with Him, just like Adam and Eve did. Isn't that wonderful? He has redeemed us from the curse of the law of what? Sin and death. That's what came on us in the garden, sin and death. So we've been redeemed and we've been reconciled. Now let me, you don't have to turn with me here, you can just listen, but you can turn if you want to. Galatians 3:13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So see, he has redeemed us from that curse. Now, when I was a brand new baby Christian, I was pregnant with my first son and was thinking about the birthing process, you know, and had only seen, I'd never seen a real baby be born. I only had picture shows and, you know, those old Western shows where they're hanging onto the headboard and screaming and, you know, and I was just thinking, yikes, man, I don't know if I ever want to have a baby if it's that bad. But I wasn't looking forward to that pain. And I had never heard anybody tell a story that wasn't awful about having babies. So as I was pregnant, 7 months, you know, the baby's rolling around, and, you know, you just can't wait to get your hands on that little baby. You just want to hold it and see it and all of that. But there was that, that getting that baby out before you could hold it and love it. And I was really having a problem with that pain that I was facing. And one day I just said to the Lord, Lord, when I get to heaven, I am going to punch Eve in the nose because it's her fault that I'm going to have all this pain. And then God very gently, you know, God is so sweet. He could have just zapped me dead right there. But he said, well, what would you have done if you had been in Eve's shoes? I thought, wow, Lord, forgive me for being hard on Eve. But what am I supposed to do with this pain I'm facing? And I remembered the scripture in Galatians that we have been redeemed from the curse. And it was like, oh my, wait a minute. If I've been redeemed, if that curse came on there because of Eve's disobedience, and I would have done the same thing. But Christ, what he did on the cross, redeemed me from that curse. Then he suffered my pain of childbirth on that cross. I don't have to have it. The curse, I've been redeemed from the curse. The curse has been broken off of me. And I want you to know I had three babies with absolutely no pain. Just from that truth. So you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. No pain. Now that was amazing. The doctors couldn't believe that I could just get out of the bed right after the baby was born, you know, walk down the hall. Everybody else was, you know, and I'm just walking down the hall. I mean, I had no pain. No pain. And no medicine. Nothing to kill the pain, but no pain. Okay, Romans 8:2 is another scripture that tells us, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Here it is again. See, the law of life in Christ Jesus abolishes, it just annihilates anything else, anything. There's nothing too big that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus can't cover. Nothing. Now, I want you to look at Luke 4:18. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Now he was quoting, this was spoken of Jesus in Isaiah. And so now Jesus is repeating this, and then, as Philip said last night, he says, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your ears." And then they were ready to throw him off the cliff because, I mean, he's proclaiming to be the Messiah, which he was. He identifies himself. He says he is anointed. The Spirit of the Lord is upon him, and he is anointed. He is the Christ. That's what Christ means, the anointed one. Jesus Christ, the anointed one. And then he tells what he's going to do with that anointing. He's going to preach the gospel or the good news to the poor. He's going to heal the brokenhearted. Let me ask you, are you brokenhearted today? Do you have areas in your life that your heart was broken and it's painful to remember whatever it was? Hurtful things that have been said to you, broken relationships that have left you brokenhearted. He's going to preach deliverance to the captives. Are you being held captive in some area of your life? Any area that you're not free, you're a captive. Any area that you're not whole, you're a captive. We all have areas that we are still in captivity. And Jesus said that he was going to preach deliverance to the captives. Recovering of the sight to the blind. You know, I've thought about that. Is it just the blind that he's going to recover? I think that was just kind of a ballpark saying, not only to open the eyes of the blind, but anybody that's afflicted in any way. Lame, sick, infirmities and defects, deformities, anything that's not whole. He is the recoverer. He is the restorer of those things. And set at liberty them that are bruised. You know, that word, set at liberty them that are bruised, you cannot see sometimes where people are bruised. they're tender in certain areas, and it's like, you know, when you have a bruise and you touch it, it hurts. And I think that really covers a large area, especially the spirit of offense. Where people have been offended, there's a bruise there. So he wants to set at liberty those that have been bruised. You know, Jesus says in Luke 5:17, it says that he was teaching. And it says that as he was teaching, the power was present to heal. As you hear this teaching, this is God's word. And in Hebrews 1:3, it says that he upholds all things by the word of his power. This word is the actual power of God. The power of God. It's powerful, so that when we hear it, there's power present to heal. You know, we hear about different preachers. Now, I'm not, think what you want to, but I hear people criticizing preachers for whatever. But I've come to know that anyone who preaches healing, preaches healing, preaches healing, has a healing ministry, and, you know, maybe sometimes they cross the line, that's not for me to decide. But when they're preaching healing, if you're hearing healing, you're going to get healed. If you're, you know, they're criticizing the prosperity preachers, but hey, they're preaching prosperity. Their people are prospering. It's the word. It's not just them. But see, that's why we need a balance. We should hear healing so we can be healed. We should hear deliverance so we can be delivered. We should hear prosperity so we can prosper. We should hear salvation. You know, the Baptists get more people saved. Look at Billy Graham. He got more people saved because he preached salvation. So whatever you hear, the power is there to perform that thing. And this morning, I am talking about healing. Because the church is sick. And I love deliverance. And let me tell you, being delivered of allergies, depression, migraine headaches, PMS, you know, you name it. Those things that I've been healed of have been the greatest areas of deliverance in my life. There can be nothing greater, a no greater deliverance than being healed of a sickness that is chronic. Would you agree? Okay, so that's what we're talking about. And in Exodus 15:26, in the Old Testament, God's Word says, of God, I am the Lord that healeth thee. You know, I think sometimes my husband and I were talking the other day, and he says, well, why is it in Africa, you know, you hear about all these miraculous? I said, because they're hearing it, basically, a lot of them are hearing it for the first time. We have been so conditioned to hearing this stuff that we don't hear it. We take it for granted. And we have alternatives. In Africa, they don't have alternatives. I mean, when they hear the good news, they receive it and they get what they receive. That's what I want for the body of Christ. Okay. Let's look at Acts 10:38. One of the things that that I think we all struggle with, I know I did in the beginning, was being really convinced that we weren't supposed to be sick. I have people tell me, well, you're going to get sick. There's no two ways about it. You're going to get sick. And, you know, that's been my experience. You're right, we get sick. You know why? Because sickness is. It came in the garden, and it is still in the earth today. Now, Jesus, when he was crucified, shed his blood. And it is said that by his stripes we are healed. In 1 Peter, it says that by his stripes ye were healed. In Psalm 103, he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. He took our iniquities, and it says that he healed all our diseases, right? And in Exodus, you are the Lord that healeth us. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now, this is either true or it's not. That's where I was with it. This is either true or not. In fact, that's what God said to me. Okay, let me get back to my notes because I'll get this all scrambled up. Okay, Acts 10:38. how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing what? Good. And healing who?
All.
That were what?
Oppressed.
Oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. Now, I looked at this and I thought, there it is right there. Who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Well, if they needed healing, they must have been sick, right? So, and why were they sick? Because they were oppressed of the devil. So, what is the origin of sickness? The devil. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil with the anointing of God. Do you know we have the anointing? Jesus Christ lives in us. And we have access, because of that, to everything that He has. Everything. That's powerful. Now I want to look at a few people. Look at Mark 5, 1 through 8. Mark 5, 1 through 8. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gerasenes. And when he was come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. For he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. See, this man, he didn't have any physical defects. He didn't have a physical need, but this man was out of his mind. And it said that he had a spirit that was causing this, an unclean spirit. And when he sees Jesus, when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. Now that word worshipped, I looked up, and it says that he drew near in a submissive posture. He wasn't worshiping him like we worship him. But that word worshiped means he brought himself to Jesus and put himself in a posture of submission, so that he was yielding himself totally to whatever Jesus could do for him. He was tormented. Those demons had given him supernatural power so that chains couldn't even hold him. The whole town was scared of him. But Jesus cast the demons out of him, and then he was sitting in his right mind, and now the town was afraid of him because he was sitting in his right mind. They didn't know what to do with it. Did not know what to do with the man after he was made sane. You know, we're more comfortable with what we know. We can be comfortable with what we're used to. And that's very sad. So he is able to touch our mental conditions. It doesn't even have to be a physical deformity. But there was a man in the Bible who had a physical deformity. Might have been a birth defect. One hand was shriveled up, very short. And Jesus said to him, "Stretch forth thine hand." You know, so the man just moves. He said it. That is the word of his power. The man stretches forth his hand, and his hand was made whole. God is able to heal whatever it is. The origin of sickness, oppression, torment, whatever, is from the enemy. And Jesus got on the cross. He shed every drop of his blood to abolish, to destroy the works of the devil, to destroy sickness and disease and torment. So, I want to look at some other causes of sickness. First of all, we saw that sin entered in and sickness with sin because of rebellion. So I want you to, as I talk about this, I want you to examine yourself and see if there are any of these things working in your life. Disobedience or rebellion. That was Adam and Eve's sin. Disobedience or rebellion. Or perhaps you have a condition that was generationally inherited. You know, grandma had it, mama had it, or daddy had it, so we have it. It's passed down. It's genetic. The doctors understand genetic inheritances. But we can also have spiritual inheritances. Spiritual inheritances. Mine, I had, coming down through the family line, the Jezebel spirit. Rage. I used to call it anger. You know what? It wasn't even anger. It was rage that came down through the family line. And there were others too. But we can have generationally inherited genetic diseases. Or you could get sick just by coming in contact with sickness. Viruses, like the cold. You know, viruses, there's no cure for. They can treat the symptoms, but they can't cure it. But colds are a virus. HIV is a virus. It can be bacterial. Maybe a sickness is caused by bacterial infections. It could be self-inflicted. Maybe you smoked for 40 years and ended up with lung cancer. Or maybe you drank and drank and drank and it began to mess up your mind and your body. You know, we do have self-inflicted illnesses. We can overeat and cause things to be out of balance in our bodies. And that causes sicknesses. Or let me ask you this. Does anybody have an affliction here that they have judged somebody else that had that same affliction and now you've got it? Because what you judge will come to your house. Sometimes I remember judging somebody that I knew that suffered depression because, hey, I was a happy-go-lucky person. I just couldn't relate to that. You just need to get happy, you know. That's before I knew Jesus. But guess what? Depression came to my house. I understand depression very well now. I understand it. So do you have an ailment in your body or a problem? It doesn't even have to be an ailment. Do you have a problem going on in your life that perhaps you judged somebody else somewhere down the line and now it's at your house? And if that's the case, then you need to repent. Jesus did it. Look at the man that they lowered through the roof. We don't even know the condition of this man. You know, this is another thing that I have a real problem with in the Christian community is all the rules and regulations that people have put on you in order to be healed. It was a gift. It was a gift, just like salvation. Well, are they even saved? Well, you know, I'd go, well, Lord, let me see. I didn't see anywhere where God gave them a pop quiz before he healed them. Well, are you, you know, I'm going to go lay hands on somebody. I call for prayer. This would always caught me by surprise. I would call people that I knew really knew how to pray. Please be praying for me. I'm going to lay hands on somebody. Well, are they a Christian? Well, I don't know. Well, are you doing this in your flesh or did the Spirit tell you to do this? Oh, dear, I don't know that either. You know, so I'm looking at the Word. Okay, Lord, answer this for me. Am I doing this in the flesh? Am I doing it? You know, you can get so caught up in all the junk that you end up not even doing it. But you know what my answer for that was? That too. But Jesus, every time I saw, he was moved with compassion. That became my guide. If I was moved with compassion, I go. So let Jesus be the one, you know. Go to the Word. I'm telling you, every answer to everything is in the Word. Okay. He tells us in John 14:12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works shall he do because I go unto my Father. That is hard for us to comprehend, but he really meant what he said. He went to his Father and he sent his Holy Spirit, his power, his nature, his person to live in us so that we could do these things too. The very first time I went to pray for somebody, I'm telling you, I was in fear and trembling. My clothes were shaking. It because we're not comfortable with things that we've not done before. But I truly believe that we do not see the works like over in Africa because we're not doing it. James says if you be a hearer and not a doer, you are deceived. You deceive yourselves. So this is kind of like a challenge. I'm going to challenge you with what God challenged me with. Start doing it. Whenever, you know, you see somebody, well, listen, I'm going to the hospital Tuesday for some tests. Please be praying for me. I'll be praying for you. No, Here, sit down. Let's pray right now. Because when two and it come together, and I believe the Word says that if two agree as touching anything. So if you pray with the person who's touching the situation, I believe there's more power in it.
Amen.
Then me and Jane coming together for you, let's me and you come together for you. You know, there's nothing wrong with other people praying, but we need to begin to bring them to God right then. If you knew somebody who was deathly ill and you knew Jesus was a block away, wouldn't you go get him and say, please come pray for my daughter? Yes, we would do that. But he's not here, is he? But he is. And especially in a corporate situation like this, when you have believers come together, there is so much power here, we can't even grasp it. Mark 16 says, and these signs shall follow those who believe in my name. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So if you belong to Jesus, healing belongs to you. It's part of what he did on the cross. Now, I just said, you know, that other people get healed and they may not be saved. But you know what always happened? As soon as they got saved, they followed Jesus. So there is a double thing happening there. You go pray for somebody and they get healed, you got a believer on your hands. Now they have salvation too. And it is an inheritance. You know, I started looking at it like someone dies, everybody goes to the lawyer or wherever. I've never been to one, so I don't really know. But I hear about people, they're going to go read the will. And Mike and I have a little optical business, and there's an attorney next door, and he's always coming to get me to sign wills, to witness wills, you know. So I see the people gathered, and I, you know, they're either drawing up their will. Most of the time they are drawing up their will, and he needs a witness for it. But the first time that I taught on healing, I was asking God, Lord, give me something tangible. And I was waking up one morning and I saw a will. I just saw this will. And so I thought, wow, that's pretty cool. So I went to the lawyer and I said, could you give me a blank will and testament? And he looked at me kind of strange. He says, well, what are you going to do with it? Do you mind me asking? I said, I'm going to use it for a Bible teaching. He said, okay. So he gave me a blank will and testament, and I have made up a will. It's Jesus' will to whosoever. So if you are a believer, this will and testament belongs to you. And I brought some. Jane, if you would pass these out on this side. If you would pass these out on this side. Thank you. See, Jesus, when he sent out the disciples in Matthew 10, verse 5, he told the disciples, go not into the way of the Gentiles or the heathen or the unbelievers, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In other words, go to my people. We are God's people. And so this is for God's people. And the woman in the Bible who had the daughter that was possessed with a demon, and she went to Jesus. Let me see if I can remember where I wrote it. Because I couldn't pronounce. I had trouble pronouncing the. Someone help me with it. It's Syrophoenician, the Syrophoenician woman whose daughter had a demon, and she came to Jesus and she wanted him to come and heal her daughter, and Jesus said, "It is not right to give the children's bread to the dogs." See, this is for us. It is for believers, primarily, and then for the unbelievers. So, I want you to look at this. This is a very familiar scripture, Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And then I broke the words down. Because, you know, we can read that, and it's, yeah, we've read it so many times, but that word born means to lift, accept, carry away, ease, and took away. Now, if he took away our griefs, then why are we carrying them? That word grief, listen to what all this covers. Disease or disorder of body or mind. Anxiety. Weakness. Sickness. Affliction. Calamity, which means a state of deep distress or misery caused by major misfortune or loss. Made sorry, sore, and writhing in pain. Now see, when I studied this, I thought, oh, there's that writhing in pain like childbirth. See, he took that. Carried, to carry, suffer the burden, be a burden, labored. He carried our sorrows, anguish or extreme pain or distress of the body or mind. But that covers everything. Anguish or extreme pain or distress of the body or mind, mentally, emotionally, physically. Sadness, continued pain or distress. Afflictions, any cause of continued pain or distress. Blemishes and destructions. Look, blemishes, even pimples, you know, even just blemishes. Wounded, he was wounded. He was injured by cutting or breaking bodily tissue. Broken open as with a wedge, profaned or violated or treated with irreverence, abuse, contempt, desecrated. That's what they did to Jesus. And he took that because he loves us. Transgressions is rebellion, sin, and trespass. He was wounded for our transgressions. Bruised, beat to pieces, break. Destroy, humble, to destroy the power or prestige of, smite with sudden hard blows, oppress or treat cruelly, to burden the spirit by harsh cruelty. See that word bruised? That was the word in Luke 4:18 a while ago. That bruised. If you've been treated cruelly or your spirit has been burdened by harsh cruelty. Iniquities, perversities, moral evils, faults, mischiefs, wrongdoings, and sin. Chastisements of our peace. He took the correction, the discipline, the rebuke for whatever is keeping us from having peace so that we can have peace. The word peace means safe, well or whole, healthy, prosperous, at rest, happy, friendly, complete, and restored. That's what peace means. That covers a lot, doesn't it? He is our peace. He is the Prince of Peace. And by His stripes, by His black and blue marks, by His bruises, by His hurt, His wound, and the welt on His body, we are healed, made well. We are healthy. We are mended. We are cured. We are repaired thoroughly. We are made whole, and that means free from defect or damage. It means intact and having all its parts. That covers everything. Everything. He covered it all. And then at the bottom, I just wrote what I felt like he was trying to say to us. My child, when I shed my blood on the cross of Calvary, I took upon myself the payment for sin that otherwise would have been required of you. I suffered the shame, the punishment, condemnation, and damnation for your sin so you wouldn't have to. You are forgiven. At the same time, I took upon myself the suffering of every sickness, disease, and affliction known to mankind and destroyed its power over you. You are healed. I also suffered all forms of bondage and the torment that goes along with it so you can enjoy complete rest and freedom. You are delivered. I did all this because of my great love for you, and I pray you will receive it all with joy. So this is yours, your will, His will and testament to you. This is our inheritance. This is what we inherited when He gave Himself on the cross. And I do desire that we all keep this in our minds whenever we have anything that's going on with us, that we can remember that whatever pain it's causing us, whatever anxiety it's causing us, that we can remember that He suffered it on the cross so we wouldn't have to. He already took it. You know, I was seeking healing. And that's another thing, seeking healing, because this is what He told me. I wanted to be healed of allergies because twice a year I was very sick. I've had pneumonia twice because of it. And I had read in the Bible that the leper went to Jesus and wanted to be healed. And Jesus said, the leper said, if you wanted to, you could heal me. And Jesus said, I want to be healed. And he was healed. Now, what am I going to say to that? I said, hey, if the leper said that to you, I'm saying it. If you wanted to, you could heal me of these allergies. And he said, I've already done it. I'm waiting for you to receive it. Did I not say it is finished? Can I tell you, if you're asking for healing today, he's saying, I've already done it. I've already done it. I've already done it. I'm waiting for you to receive it. I didn't know how to receive it. I was shocked when he said it to me. I've already done it. I'm waiting for you to receive it. Oh, well, how do I do that? I don't know how to receive it, but I'll receive it by faith today. Thank you, Lord. Well, all the rest of the day I was sick. But the very next day I woke up and it was all gone, every manifestation, and I've not been sick with that since. See, he is the healer. He is able to heal whatever you have in your body. I want to look at James 5:14 because, you know, we are the church, right? So we should model what we believe and what we do by what the Word says, shouldn't we? Well, in James 5, verse 14, see, James is saying, look, God made a provision for the church. He's made a provision. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Now see that there's a sin connection there. Remember the blind man and the disciple said, who sinned, his father or him, that he was blind? And Jesus said, neither one, but that the glory of God might be made manifest in him. But right here, it says that if he have committed sins, in other words, if there was sin that caused this, then that sin will be forgiven and then healing can take place. Do you see that? Confess your faults one to another that you might be healed. There is healing in confessing your sin. But if you don't know what that sin was that caused it, then it says right here that if you go before the elders to be anointed and prayed for, if a sin caused it, you are forgiven of that sin. So it's powerful. And yet, it's not practiced very much in the church. My mother had a bad report several years ago, and I challenged her. I said, Mama, you believe the Bible, don't you? And she said, yes. I said, well, when your pastor asked y'all to raise hands if anybody needs prayer or whatever, I said, do you think you could just get up and go approach the pastor and tell him that you would like to be anointed? The Bible says, if any among you are sick, call on the elders and be anointed. Pray the prayer of faith. She said, yeah, I could do that. So she did. And she called me that afternoon. She said, you know what happened? I said, what? She said, 12 people lined up behind me. I said, see, Mama, it's needed in the church. This is what the Word says to do. This is the provision for the church. And I'm not knocking anybody who goes to the doctor, because I went to the doctor before I could stand in this place. And I'll go to the doctor again if, you know, if I'm getting sick and not getting better and I'm doing everything I know to do. Hey, I'll take the medicine. I don't like taking the medicine, but I don't like the hurt. I don't like pain now. But I'm just saying that this is the provision for the church, and we should do this first. Do this first and allow God an opportunity. Give yourself an opportunity for God to take care of your sickness. When I was first born again, that was my statement. When I read that, I said, wow, Lord, wouldn't it be wonderful if that's the way it really was? And he said, what do you mean, if it really was? This is my word. You either believe it or you don't. Okay, I believe it. And I began to practice it. When you begin to practice it, you'll begin to see the things happening. So I encourage you, I don't care what church you go to, if you have sickness in your body, go to your pastor, whether it is the normal practice in that church or not. Obey the word and see what happens. Obey the word and begin to experience miracles. That's been my experience. As I have moved on the word, there were miracles that took place for myself and for others. There was an elderly gentleman. Well, I thought he was elderly. I was in my 20s when I first met him. He was probably my age now. We were in this Bible study together, and we've been away from there for many years, and I hadn't seen this man probably in 25, 30 years. And I wondered if he was even still alive. And one day I was down at my mother's because we don't live there anymore, but I saw him at Kmart. He was standing over looking at an ad booklet. And it was really funny because it was just like the day before that I ran across his name on a list that I had. And I thought, I wonder if he's still living. And there he was. So I was so excited to see him, and I went over to see him, and I didn't even remember his name. I said, do you remember me? And he said, I remember you. He said, how have you been? I said, well, how have you been? And my wife died, blah, blah, blah. But he's really having trouble with his knees, and it keeps him from being able to go sometime. Well, you know, I had compassion. My compassion rose for him. Therefore, the challenge was there. So I said, well, first I said, do you know anybody that you could have hands laid on and prayed for you? And he said, no. So there it was. So I looked around to see if there was a place he could sit down, and there wasn't. So I said, well, where are you parked? So we went out to his truck. Of course, that would get me out of this. You know, I didn't want to do it in front of people. So we went to his truck, and I mean, as soon as he sat down in the truck, the person that was parked next to him comes with their basket full of this many groceries, you know, and I'm thinking. So anyway, I just had to ignore that person. And I prayed for this man. I prayed for his knees. And I always say, and Lord, if there's anything else in his body that shouldn't be there, I ask you to deal with it now. Well, this was in December. No, this was in November. December, Christmas Eve, he called my house. He said, I just had to call. He said, did you get my letter? No. Did you write me a letter? He said, yeah, but I can't wait. I got to tell you. He had gone to the doctor because one of his knees was swollen, just huge. And he had gone to the doctor, and the doctor was trying to, she was going to look at the knee, but all of the swelling was gone. And so he looks at the other knee, and he said, well, it's all gone. So then he did blood work. And the blood work came back, and what the man did not tell me was that he had had leukemia, and he had been healed of the leukemia, but all of a sudden his blood was out of whack again. But after I had prayed for him, all of the bloods were in the normal. All the blood things were in the normal. And, you know, it was the best gift that I could have ever received. He is the healer. He is the deliverer. But in the home, the husband is the priest of the home. And he has the priest's mantle the robe of the priesthood, the authority of the priesthood. So in your homes, if you've not ever done this before, if your children get sick, I encourage the husbands to begin to exercise this power in their home and begin to do like Jesus did when he walked in and Peter's mother-in-law had fever. Lay your hands on the sick. In Mark 16, it says, we shall lay our hands on the sick and they shall recover. We can speak to that illness. We have authority over the illness to tell it to leave in the name of Jesus and then administer healing to your children. Also in 2 Corinthians 7, I think it's 1 Corinthians 7, it says that the wife has not power over her own body, but the husband. Likewise, the husband has not power over his own body, but the wife. So, wives, if you get sick, go to your husband first and allow him to lay hands on you and to take authority over the sickness, over your body, and command it to go. And the same with the husbands. If you get sick, go to your wife and let her lay hands on you and speak to that sickness and cast it out of you and administer healing to your body. My husband and I do that all the time. Let me tell you, there is power there that we need to begin to exercise in. Okay. I want to give you one other testimony of, not mine, but a man that I sat next to on a trip coming back from North Carolina one time. He was a police officer in Houston, Texas. And he wanted to know where I'd been and everything. And I told him I'd been to a writer's conference. And, well, do you have anything that you've written? And I had a chapter out of this book that I've written, and it was about depression, being healed of depression. And he read it, and then he wanted to share his testimony with me. But he had a growth come up in his mouth. And he had been raised in church, but when he got married and had kids, that was the end of church. He didn't go to church, didn't raise his children in church, didn't, you know, have time for God. And then this growth came up and went to the doctor finally, and it was malignant. So the doctor tells him his options, you know, chemo, radiation. But he also told him the side effects. Now, I learned this from the man because I thought chemo just touched the cancer. No, it can do terrible damage to your entire body. And so he didn't want to do that. Well, I think he went to Mexico for some alternative medicine there and nothing worked. Well, he got his Bible down and looked up scriptures about sickness. And he came to James 5:14 and, you know, he had no church. He had no preacher, but he knew a church in town that, you know, was full gospel Pentecostal, that he knew that they would anoint with oil and stuff. So he called them and he asked if they would be willing to pray for him. So he and his wife went to the church and she stepped inside and sat down on the back pew because she thought he had absolutely lost his mind. But he went down, and the elders of the church there anointed him and prayed for him. And they stood back, and nothing, no, nothing. So they prayed again, and no, nothing. They prayed again, and one of the elder gentlemen said, now, wait a minute. We've done what the Word said, and the rest is up to God. And the man didn't want him to quit. But he thanked them all and got up, and as he walked back down the aisle, that thing left his mouth. And he was healed. I guarantee you, that man is in church today. And I bet his wife is a believer. You know, because there is no denying when something like that happens, you know that you've been touched by the power of God. And you know, I've taught this here before, basically. And, you know, it's like, Lord, I just am not going to give up until I see your word manifested. And I know, because of the healings that I have received, that God wants us well. And if there's anybody here, and I'm going to pray, we're going to do some corporate, I'm just going to do some corporate praying, some deliverance prayers. So right now, I just want you to bow your heads. Father, we come to you. Lord, we come worshiping you as our healer. Lord, not like the man that was in the tombs. He didn't know you, but he did submit himself to you. So, Father, we come in a posture of worship, submitting ourselves to you, committing our bodies to you. Lord, you created us. You know every molecule in our bodies. Lord, you know what's there and you know what shouldn't be there. And Lord, we bring it to you today. We commit our bodies to you, Lord, not only to heal us, but to keep us. You told me not only can I heal you when you get sick, but I can keep you well. Lord, that's what I desire for every person here, that we commit our sickness to you today. Lord, as you hung on the cross, you took every sickness, every pain, every sorrow, every anguish, every broken place in our hearts, every fear, everything that keeps us from peace, every torment. Lord, you took it. You carried it. You bore it on the cross so we wouldn't have to. So I'm asking right now that everybody that has anything, any torment, any anguish, any pain, any sickness, any disease, any affliction, let him have it. He carried it. Give it to him now. Submit whatever it is to him now. And Lord, I just ask right now that your resurrected blood flow through every one of our bodies, touching, healing, restoring. Lord, you created this whole world out of nothing. Nothing is too hard for you. If there's something that is not working properly, you can restore it to wholeness. I'm asking you now to restore it, Lord. Restore. Lord, even if it is damage that was done during a surgery, a mistake, Lord, it doesn't matter what it is, you are able. I'm asking you to touch it now. Your word says that if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us, and it does, that it would quicken our mortal bodies, our flesh and blood bodies. Quicken our minds, Lord. Your word says that we have the mind of Christ. Receive it. The mind of Christ is not forgetful. It doesn't have Alzheimer's. Lord, I come against fear. Fear of sickness. Fear of death. Fear of cancer. All fears. Every form of bondage that is holding us captive. I come against it right now. To set the captives free. Right now in the name of Jesus, I take authority over every generationally inherited disease. Every disease that you inherited from your mother, every disease that you inherited from your father, right now in the name of Jesus, I break the power of generationally inherited disease. I command it to go. The shed blood of Jesus Christ has abolished all generationally inherited disease. I come against every blood disease. Every blood disease in the name of Jesus. I break your power. I command the spirit of every blood disease to leave God's people right now in Jesus' name. All blood disorders. I don't care if it's blood pressure, anemia, autoimmune, low blood count, high white blood, anything having to do with the blood, I say be healed in Jesus' name. I come against all forms of cancer. All forms of cancer. I speak death to all cancer in the name of Jesus. I command every cyst, every tumor, every growth, every abnormal cell to be destroyed now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, all cancers, cancers of all organ, any and all organs in your body, in the name of Jesus. I speak death to cancer in the bone, all glandular cancers, skin cancers, bladder cancers, kidney cancers, liver cancers, stomach, heart, eyes, brain, all cancer. I speak death to you in the name of Jesus. The shed blood of Jesus Christ has annihilated you. And we thank you, Lord, for destroying the works of the devil. I come against all forms of mental illness. All mental illness, whatever it may be, depression, schizophrenia, all bipolar, I curse you in the name of Jesus Christ. Insanity, confusion, arrested development. I speak supernatural maturity to any arrested development in the name of Jesus. I come against the spirit of infirmity. The strong man of all of these things. You spirit of infirmity, I bind you. I break your power by the shed blood of Jesus Christ and command you to leave in the name of Jesus. All spirits of infirmity, go. All muscular disorders, muscular diseases, I don't care what they are. I bind you and break your power off God's people. I command you to go in Jesus' name. All pain, unexplained pain, severe pain, sharp pains, piercing pains, go in the name of Jesus. Anything causing pain, I rebuke you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You leave God's people. All reoccurring fevers and viruses, bacterial infections, in the name of Jesus, I speak death to you now in the name of Jesus and command you to go. All digestive disorders, go in the name of Jesus. Name your own, whatever it is, irritable bowel syndrome, acid reflux, indigestion, ulcers, whatever, colon cancer, colon problems, bladder problems, urinary problems. In the name of Jesus, I command you to go. All female problems and all male problems. In the name of Jesus, I break your power right now and command you to go in Jesus' name. I apply the shed blood of Jesus Christ and command you to go. Weakness. And now any spiritual disorders. Any spiritual disorders. Antichrist spirits. Hatred, anger, unforgiveness. Go in the name of Jesus. I come against all the sins of the forefathers that have brought spiritual problems into your life. Oaths and covenants that were taken by our ancestors in the name of Jesus. The Antichrist spirit. All idolatry, spirits of idolatry that are causing spiritual blocks and spiritual sicknesses in the name of Jesus. Lord, if I have forgotten anything, Lord, let the people name their weakness, their sickness, their fears, their torments, Lord. And I just ask that you would cover it right now with your shed blood that destroyed the works of the devil. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for making us whole. We thank you for making us well. We thank you, Lord. We praise your name. We praise your precious name. We thank you, Lord, for everything that you're doing. Everything that you're doing in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If anybody wants to be anointed for anything in particular, I'll be glad to do that. Otherwise, it's 12:05. Lord, I ask you to bless the food. Bless the food. We give you thanks for it. We ask you to sanctify it. Bless the hands that made it and all those that eat it in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.